Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and we have a wonderful guest with us today out of, believe it or not, I've never even heard of this city called Redding, California. Now, there's a Redding, Pennsylvania, which we all know of because there's Redding Railroad. And David Fisher always lets us know it's not Reading Railroad, it's Redding Railroad, but that's in Pennsylvania. So I looked this up to see where this was at, and this was out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. It's halfway between Sacramento and Oregon, and I don't even know if there's even a city there, but whatever. This is a perfect example of someone just going off into the middle of nowhere and still doing real estate. So I'm very happy to introduce you today to one of our national single family mentors who's been around since 2016, Isaac Martinez. Isaac, welcome to the show.
Thanks, how are you today?
Great. I want to tell your story today, folks, for the folks out there, because it's a great story. And I met you in Miami when you were just a young kid and had your first baby, and your wife were there toting it around. And I met you, and you said that you found us because a friend told you about it. Why don't we pick it up there with that story? Well, let's start here. Were you looking when your friend told you about us for something else at that time? Had you gotten to that point yet in your life? Because it seems like you were very unhappy when I met you.
You're 100% right. So we were looking for quite some time, months, maybe about a year, for passive form of income. It was really hard to find something that made sense. So we started off with multi-level marketing schemes. Well, multi-level marketing companies, sorry. And we really went to a lot of these events. They were really big hoorah parties. They would, I don't know, thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars to throw these huge events. And we would show up. Everybody will be celebrating this one person. Everybody will be excited. And at the end, they tell you, buy all this product, bring your friends in, we'll all make money. And every time my wife and I left this event, I said, this is not it. This is not financial freedom. This is a really hard job, and your friends are not going to like you. And that's how I felt. And I go, I don't want to be that guy that goes to a party or invites their friends over their house, and they're like, oh, they're going to try to sell me on some product. So I was like, yeah, this is just not for us, right? There was one event that we went to, Dell. It was very specific. It was a friend that invited us, and we went, and we got into the room with some executives after the event, just probably pure luck, right? And they were trying to kind of sell me on joining the program and joining and trying to sell this item. So what I did was I was like, okay, I put the item in front of it. It was like two or three guys. And I said, okay, this item, how much from this item, how much will you make? How much will I make? How much will each of my friends make? And how much would the company make to continue promoting the product? Can you give me a dollar amount off the sell price of this product? And the guy looked at me right across the table, kind of like a lounge and chairs. And he just looked at me and goes, well, that's, you know, just bring your friends and we'll make money. And I was like, that's not an answer. So we left there, made no sense. And we said, this is not it. We went to church, started, we were serving with some other guys at church and talking to him. I was like, I know real estate works. I really don't know how to do this exactly the right way. And he goes, oh, listen to this guy on the radio. I was like, okay. So he gave me your name. I Googled you, looked it up. I started listening to you for 6 months. And I said, you know what? Maybe this guy isn't after my money. Maybe he really cares. And that's how we got there.
Interesting. Any skepticism in the beginning?
I used to say that I thought everybody was after my money. That was a slogan I used to say. And after listening for 6 months, what you said and how you said it made me feel like maybe this is different. So my wife, I said, hey, honey, can you listen for 2 months? Can you listen? And she goes, yeah. After 2 weeks, she goes, okay, where do we sign up? I was like, whoa, that's not how it works. Hold on. Give me a second. We got to figure out how to get there, right? And that's how we ended up flying out from Miami. We flew out to Houston to do the 2-day in person.
Well, I would say that most businesses are out to get your money. The question is whether or not it is a fair transaction. You know, do they give as much as they get? And that's really what when I looked at that stuff, that multi-level. I have to tell you a story just for fun. We're on the radio together. We're friends. I got drugged to one of those meetings by my mother-in-law, my first marriage. And when I got there, what was interesting is there was a pro football quarterback there for the Houston area, which is I'm in Houston. And there was a judge, and there was a police officer, and there was a guy who owned a dealership. I mean, these are some very successful people. And I went to that thing, and I still thought it was a scam. You know, I looked at those guys like, how can you own a dealership, a car dealership, actually a BMW dealership, to be honest with you. It was a nice dealership. How can you be, I think he was a sales manager. I take that back. He wasn't the owner. He was a sales manager. How could you be a pro quarterback and make all that money? How could you be a cop and not know this is a scam? You know, I felt that same way. So when I met you there, in Miami, you showed up there. I think you even had your stroller with you that day, you and the wife and the stroller. And what did you come away with from that one touch at a meeting that you felt comfortable to move ahead?
So when we met in Miami, that was our second opportunity to come to an LU event. We had flown to Houston and actually done the 2-day in person. And then we joined and we went to the 2-day again. I really felt not only that there was a strong community of people that were like-minded, that wanted to be successful and learn from successful people. I realized that there was this integrity part of this organization of we're going to keep trying to promote the truth and trying to help people. So for me, it was just validating the decision that we made when you and I really got to talk a little bit more here in Miami. And you're right, we did bring our stroller. We brought our son, our stroller with our baby girl, and it was my wife and I.
So how did you do your first deal? Let's talk about the first thing you have to do is you have to locate one. How did you locate a deal in another location other than where you live?
So I started off by doing what my mentor told me, which was connect with the Lifestyles Realtors and look at the email blast. So I was doing both, and a deal came out through the property blast, the email blast that's provided through Lifestyles when you're a challenge and a preferred member. And I saw the deal come through. I responded, and from there, I was able to work one-on-one with that realtor, and we started talking about the deal. It was a duplex. It was small, wasn't really big, 2-1 on one side, 2-1 on the other side, not great condition, and they were both had month-to-month residents in there. So really kind of pretty scared about this first deal, didn't know a whole lot about it, but that's how I was able to locate my first deal.
So walk us through that. What all happened, and what did you have to do to get that thing turned around?
So I worked back and forth for a bit with the realtor, and we kind of negotiated on a price. I was like, look, doing my analysis, looking at everything, this is kind of the numbers I'm looking for. So I hit my investment strategy that I had created with my mentor, and I called my mentor. I said, look, this is the numbers. This is the home. What should I be looking for? So him and I had some conversations. I went and I talked to my realtor. I said, okay, let's place an offer. They accepted the offer. I got the team that I had built already in that city, which was actually Houston. And I went and I put in, I got 2 or 3 general contractor bids. I think I got 3, but for sure 2. And then I got, went through, got my inspection report done. I got all this done during the due diligence period. It all made sense. I didn't need to renegotiate the deal. Everything that the numbers with the general contractor, the bids that came out, plus the inspection report, plus the pictures and videos I got, gave me enough information with the help of my mentor to create a scope of work. So I created a scope of work of what needed to be done. And then from there, we closed on the property. Because this was my first deal and I was freaked out. I actually flew out, walked the property with the general contractor after closing. walked it with my realtor, and then I flew back same day. It was just a one-day trip, and I started doing all the remodel on the work and managing it remotely.
So what did the airfare on that trip cost you? Because that's part of the due diligence now. You added a little money to it the way you did it.
I think I paid about $400 round trip, and I think the car at the time to rent a car and then gas, that's been a while, though. Maybe $150 at the time, maybe $80 for $100 in for the car and like $50 in gas. Mm-hmm. And then food, and people want to throw in food.
You so can't count food. Food you have to eat anyway, man.
Okay, perfect.
Come on.
People kind of throw that in there. $500, $600, let's put it that way.
All right, so you spent $600 for a sense of security, is the way I'm going to put it.
Yeah.
Was it worth the $600? Because it could be. I'm asking, was that worth it, the extra $600, just to put your hands on the first deal you ever bought and know that it was real?
So the answer to that is correct. The answer is yes. After deal number four, we stopped flying out. We said, we don't need to do this anymore.
All right. Now, my next question is, normally when we buy these things, we buy them with no tenants in them. What did you do with the two tenants that were there?
So the tenants were month to month, and I had verified the lease during the due diligence period. They had actually sent me a copy of it. So I called the residents, and I let them know that I was going to give them a 30-day notice. One of them was ready to go anyway, so he was the first gentleman that went out. The other gentleman said, I need another month or so to be able to kind of get things situated to find something else. So I said, okay. So I started rehabbing the first one while the other resident lived there.
They're pushing out on a break. We'll be right back with Isaac Martinez and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Chad on the life-changing rewards of real estate investing.
Whenever you have residents coming in thanking you for taking what was dull and drab and turning it around, making their lives better, that's definitely a blessing.
Become a life changer today with Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297, a 60% off savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Isaac Martinez, which is our national single family mentor. And he's living up in Northern California now, though when I first met him, he was living down in Miami. As we went to break, he was telling a story about buying his first duplex in Houston while living in Miami. So this is rather interesting for people that don't realize that we tell people you can live where you want and buy where you should. And that's what Isaac did, and really jumped on that approach and did it many, many, many times until the point where I finally asked him to come be a mentor and teach other people how to do it. So you got cut off on your story. You just bought this duplex. You had one tenant willing to move out right away and one tenant that needed a month to get out. And you said, okay, and you started renovating the first property, and I drop it back for you to pick it up from there.
Perfect. So we decided to, the mentor kind of told us, hey, you know, fix one side while the other resident goes ahead and moves out. Because in my head, I was like, well, I just do both at the same time. But he made me realize, well, that's a waste of time and money. So start on the first one, which I did. Started on the first one, where I was remodeling that one. Almost when we finished the remodel, the other resident left. So we went, we put that one on, we finished that remodel, put that one up for lease, and then we started on remodeling that other one. The other one took about 3 weeks to do. By that time, we were already working with a resident on the other one, and we put this one up for lease. So that's how we worked out our first one.
This is a while back. Do you remember how much you raised the rent from what it was when you took it over to what the new tenants were paying?
I want to say it was in the 600s when I took over, and the lease was in the 800s, 850, maybe 875, one of those two numbers. So we raised total about 500, maybe 550.
Were you able to calculate that rent increase before you bought it? Was that anticipated?
It was. The rent comp showed that that's where that area for that square footage was renting for the type of remodel that I was going to do, which was rent ready. It just wasn't pretty. And that's why they were paying what they were paying, which is $600 or something like that.
All right. So you leased the first one, then you leased the second one. How did you lease these up from Miami? I mean, how do you do that?
So we had a local agent there go ahead and lease it up for us. So part of the due diligence was knowing that I was going to have to pay 1 month's rent to the agent for each one of those. And that was part of the out-of-pocket that was going to cost me to make the deal work. So I had put that in my numbers already, knowing that I was going to have someone go ahead, list it for me. And I shared with them the criteria that I wanted, the resident. So I took the criteria that was taught to me and I shared it with the agent. They said, okay. So they opened, they put it up online, they showed it, I got the applications, I worked with the agent, verified everything, and then that's how we went and was able to lease it out. So I had someone there, boots on the ground, that was able to help me through the process.
All right, so let's take a forward look at this thing. It's not on your list of real estate owned today. I take it that you sold this thing?
I did.
All right. How much profit did you make capital gains-wise? I know you were making cash flow gains.
I was. I want to say we bought it for 60. It was in the 60s, so maybe $263,000. We ended up having to put in about $30,000, and then we sold it for $127,000 is the number I want to remember, Del. It was my first deal, so I believe those are the numbers.
So you made about $30,000 on it, plus the cash flow. How much was the cash flowing?
Man, the cash flow was great, though. I was really cash flowing. I think that one, that little duplex was cash flowing about $700.
I've found that duplexes and fourplexes are the best cash flow there is. There's no doubt about that. So it says here that you went on and bought three duplexes and one fourplex. Was that what you were aiming at up front? Or did that just filter in between the single family houses you did?
No, I was aiming for that. I was, when I first started, my wife was very upfront. She goes, I want to retire. I don't like my job. I really, really, really hate my job. So she goes, let's get me retired. So I actually aimed for duplexes, triplex, and fourplexes.
So if you had $700 a month positive cash flow in the first duplex, you had three of these things and a fourplex. That must have been enough to retire you, huh? Or at least your wife anyway, huh?
It did. It was enough to get her to be able to not have to go back to work. The way that it worked out was that we started investing. I think by the second or the third duplex, I think it was, we found out that we were pregnant. I think it was at the second one. And she goes, honey, I want to, whenever I take my maternity leave, if it's at all possible, I don't want to go back to work. I was like, okay. So she goes, Can we put some little fire to this and move forward? I said, well, I'm going to do this and we're going to do it right, but I'm going to do the best that I can to get you there. So within a year and a little bit, we were able to generate enough income so that she didn't have to go back to work when she came out of her maternity leave. It was discussions we had throughout the whole maternity leave, and weeks before we said, I think we could do this. And she went back, gave her notice, and didn't go back to work.
Excellent story. Excellent story. So you went on, it says here that you've gone on to have three duplexes, one fourplex, and 13 single-family houses, all of them in Texas. Over what period of time did you buy all these?
So the majority of them are in Texas. We actually own some rentals also in Oklahoma. And when we moved to Oklahoma, we ended up realizing the market was fruitful for this. So we built a team out of literally grit, because there's no mentors there at the moment. Well, there's no mentors. There was no LU members that I knew. I had to take what I learned and implement it into the real world without the help of building a team, which is a huge benefit of Lifestyles, which is the vendor program. But I took the education and I applied it. And we were able to buy 3 rent homes in Oklahoma. So we bought 11 or 10 in Houston, and then a few in Oklahoma as well, all within 2017 to 2013, so 6 years.
Now, I would be remiss if I don't ask you this next question, which is, made you go from Miami to Oklahoma, the Dust Bowl?
I fully get it. I actually get this question pretty often, especially in my initial mentor meetings. People are like, I don't understand. Why would you do that? Well, we were living in Miami, and I had already accepted the role to be mentor. So I was working remote at that time at home. And through prayer and fasting, we felt the Lord talk to us and saying, I want you to move to Oklahoma. So we prayed, we fasted, we really seeked to see if that was confirmed. And we took the leap of faith and we said, okay, we're going to trust you that this is what is best for us because this is what you're asking of us. So we went. We tried to do it as best as we can with the kids, though. We did a 6-7-day road trip across the country to drive to Oklahoma, but we had already rented a house over there. We had things kind of settled there throughout the drive, but we went as a leap of faith.
So, Isaac, I've got to ask you the next question. You did your mission in Oklahoma. What brought you out to California?
Very similar story. We came out here about a year ago to take our son to a youth camp for the summer so he could have some fun. And while we were out here just vacationing, it was just fun time for us. We felt the Holy Spirit again speaking to us, prompting us. This was the next move. So similar process. We prayed, we fasted, we seeked, and we felt this is, my wife and I say, this is where it is. So we did the same move, man. We rented our home. So we decided we rented our home and we moved over here. So we got to take the same trip again over here without having to worry of me having to find a job, figure it out, quit one, get the other one, or, hey, I don't have the income. It's all just fluent because of the rental properties that we had in Houston and now in Oklahoma.
Excellent. So let's talk now in this last segment about mentoring other people. What do you find is the most common fears that you run into when people contact you at first? It's got to be a lot of scared people.
Yeah. So you're not wrong. So I'm going to walk through one or two. One of the things I tell people is it's okay not to know what you don't know. I said, that's okay. I said, if you're thinking you're going to, you know, that the education and everything that comes along is going to fully ease your mind. It's not going to fully ease it. It's going to help you to be confident enough for the next, to make the next decision. And once you go ahead and you add mentoring to that, it adds to a level of experience that you don't have. So it builds your confidence. And then together, that confidence will get you the place that where you're able to make to get into a property and experience it. And when your education plus experience combine, that's when this is another level of learning that you're going to go through. But you get to do it with other people. So fear, number one, is I don't know what I don't know. And that's where the education really helps clarify a lot of things, helps people throughout the process. Two, the emotional part of how am I going to own something. I do talk to a lot of people that want to do remote, and it's the fear of how am I going to own something so far if I can't actually touch it. And typically what I tell them when they actually are able to verbalize that is saying that, and I ask them questions. So simple questions like, well, what's your real estate experience? And most of them, most people that join say, I don't have much. Okay, so if you went to a house, your next door neighbor was selling their house, and it was in really bad shape, and you walked it, and you touched the wall, and you stomped on the floor, would you know how much that needs to be fixed and the cost and time frame? Then most people are like, no. I was like, okay. So really touching stuff is just a emotional decision of this makes me feel good. When in reality, you still need a team to be able to help you determine what's going wrong, what's wrong in the home, how much it's going to cost. So let's take the emotion out of it and let's go ahead and decide based on building the right team and verifying everything properly. That's going to actually give you the best opportunity to invest properly, not the emotional decision of touching something you're seeing with your eyes. Pictures, videos, technology nowadays are able to help you with that. So really fear of I don't know what I don't know and fear of owning something a little further, far away from where you are the two main ones that I deal with, though.
So that's a great point you make, Isaac. I've never even thought of that until you said it, is that in this day and age, the technology is unbelievable. I mean, if you've got an inspector out there inspecting, he could be taking videos or pictures the entire time. So you're seeing everything that person sees, and they're explaining it to you on the video because they know what they're looking at, whereas, like you said, you don't even know what you're looking at. You don't know what you don't know. Same thing with your contractors. If your contractors walk it, they can show you pictures. I'm going to fix this for you and that for you. And, you know, when they come up with that, spec sheet of everything they're going to do and how much it's going to cost, there can be pictures and or videos attached to it to make it probably even as clear, if not clearer, than if you just walk the house yourself. Would you agree?
Yes, sir. I do. I tell members, I said, you want to get pictures and videos from your realtor, and then you want to get pictures and videos from your general contractors. You, on the inspection report, you're going to get pictures of what's wrong. So when you have two different people giving you two different perspectives of the home, and you kind of teach them, you kind of walk them. Can you go in the middle of the room and circle around the room, look up and look down, and you just have conversation with them? Can you do that? You're able to see everything that's wrong with the home without actually physically getting there. So it's not buying blindly. You actually know everything about the home. You just get to do it from the comfort of your living room or your office or wherever you are to be able to make the right determination. It takes work and effort to review that, review the scope of work, and be able to put together something for your hard money lender or your other, whichever lender you're using. But you're right. It's just an emotional feeling of having to touch something that gives people the ability to say, oh, I could do this. When reality, that's a false narrative because it actually doesn't provide value if you don't have the experience.
Wow. Well, Isaac, I really appreciate you being on the team because you're able to verbalize that so well. I'm thinking to myself that, you know, as you're walking me through this, I'm thinking, those videos and those are pictures are even better than me going, because when I go, I look, I see, I point, maybe I take a picture of one little thing and say, okay, you know, boom, that sticks out to me. But really, when you think about these inspectors and these contractors are going to have to fix it, they're going to have to tell you what it's going to cost, then obviously those videos are there and they stay there. Whereas in my mind, I might have forgot some of the stuff I saw. The videos, I can bring it back. I can zoom in on it, everything. So it's great. I want to thank you as we come to the end of the show here today for being a mentor. And we really appreciate you.
Thank you, Dale. I really appreciate you too, sir.
All right. For the rest of you out there, think about this. There's no limitation. You live where you live. You buy where it makes sense to buy. And we've got people to help you the whole way. There's nothing standing in your way except yourself. So remember, it's not money, it's lifestyle that you're after. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.